Welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast with me, Ian Welsh. I'm with Jonathan Maher, Vice President, Corporate Social Responsibility and Sustainability with L'Oreal USA. And we're at the How Business Can Engage Smallholder Farmers conference that Innovation Forum is holding at the Pew Centre in Washington, D.C. Welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you.
Jonathan, can you just give us a little bit of context of smallholder farmers in L'Oreal supply chain, their importance and what you're doing with them?
I would say today we know that they're a part of our supply chain in that L'Oreal uses a number of renewable raw materials, plant-based raw materials, and that in the sourcing of those raw materials, much of the production comes from smallholders. If just to take an example, if we take palm oil derivatives, I think we estimate today that the production made by smallholders represents about 40%. So we're conscious of the fact that L'Oreal, in the raw materials we purchase, much of that originate with smallholders.
And what are you doing specifically to engage with your smallholders and to engage with the risks to your supply that they represent?
This is sort of the next big step, and this is what we're engaging currently under our zero deforestation policy and our sustainable sourcing policy generally. Beyond what we're doing to ensure that across all of our raw materials, that we want to ensure that principles of traceability, of third-party verification, of sustainable sourcing are upheld, we also want to ensure that the business model we use is more inclusive of smallholders and that they too get to share in the benefits of their production, which is being purchased by L'Oreal.
And so what does that look like then? How are you going to share the profits with your smallholders?
I'll give you a few examples because it's very case per case, although we are going to try to have a very systematic approach to this across all of our renewable raw materials. In the case of palm oil derivatives, today we have a pilot project which we'd like to expand. In that pilot project, we are training a number of about 500 farmers in Malaysia that they understand the practices that can lead to RSPO certification, and we're committed to purchase volume over a number of years of their palm oil to ensure also that the premium on the certified palm oil would go directly to those smallholders. So we've really thought it through, working with the different stakeholders across the full value chain to ensure that there's a real financial incentive and also an expertise which is shared with the smallholders themselves.
And but how do you ensure that the profits go down the supply chain? Are there technology? I mean, the blockchain, for example, is something that's a technology that's going to provide a lot of transparency in supply chains. Is that the sort of route that you're going down?
Oh, it's even contractual. In the purchase of these, we've created a specific supply chain for these 500 smallholders to ensure that with every single intermediary, there is an understanding as to the amounts that we're committed towards and also that premium, if you will, there is contractually that it would be transferred directly to those smallholders.
Okay. And we've just been talking about climate resilience and the importance of developing climate resilience in supply chains with smallholders. Where is L'Oreal in addressing those then? I mean, at your board, do they see the importance of climate resilience in the supply chain to the extent that it's going to be the vital that climate resilience is developed to have the products that are required for your finished products?
I think slowly but surely what we're doing is across our whole organization, including our senior management, they're understanding the importance of this, both from a risk management standpoint, because we realize that for a number of these raw materials, the risk of the depletion of these raw materials, the risk just of the volatility of these raw materials, that it's in our interest to try to create the conditions for a greater climate resiliency. But beyond that, there's just a larger ethical, and this is something which is shared by our senior management, that L'Oreal, there's an ethical imperative. As L'Oreal is the number one beauty company, we have to start creating a new business model and new practices, and we have to be much more innovative in the way we work with smallholders for our raw material sourcing. So what we've done is we've done a number of different pilot projects. Some of them are well known to our company and others are smaller projects. Also, some of them are large scale projects, some of them are smaller scale projects. But the interest here is always to ensure that we're developing an expertise which we can then transfer for our other raw materials. And slowly but surely, we can ensure that across all of our portfolio of raw materials that we have business models which are more inclusive of smallholders.
Sure. And I guess this all fits into the way you engage with your consumers as well, because your consumers are buying a natural luxury product. They're not going to want to then associate that with destruction of rainforests or depletion of biodiversity. So I guess it does all link together with the kind of brand image that you want L'Oreal to have.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say that we're not driven by that concern first and foremost, simply because consumers today are still, they're aware. I don't want to take anything away from our consumer. The consumers are more and more aware of these questions, of the complexity of supply chains, and also ultimately the impacts these have on the environment and also the impacts it has on the communities locally. But we do realize that it might not always be a purchase driver, and therefore that's not what's driving us, mm-hmm. is that we just feel that this is something where we have to be a leader also in this field. And in the same way we try to be the most innovative beauty company in areas of formulation, in packaging, in developing new products, we also feel that we have to be a great innovator in some of the business models for how we source these ingredients.
So given your sector, that you're in the beauty product sector, how much leverage do you find you have with government and also with smallholder suppliers on the ground?
I think it's important for us to understand the landscape, the political, the economic, the social landscape. We have to identify local actors. We never go it alone. We realize that those local actors have a level of credibility, of legitimacy with the local farmers, and that they're great partners. So those will include public officials. They could include nonprofits, of course, in a number of cases. So as a rule, we try to be as respectful as possible of the local culture, and just to ensure that what we do is validated, if you will, is endorsed by organizations that truly represent and can reflect the interests of the farmers.
Overall then, where do you think L'Oréal is in terms of dealing with its smallholder suppliers? Where is it on the journey, if you like, between, you know, not dealing with it to really, really getting and engaging with its smallholder suppliers? And what do you want to do next?
Well, I think what next is we have to continue to expand it across all of our raw materials. Okay, what we're finding is often you've got to go slow to go fast. So the pilot projects we've done have been very valuable. There's been a lot of learnings and insights we've gained from those. Often we'll start small scale, but then we intend to expand it quickly. We have clear goals by 2020. By 2020, we have to have achieved our zero deforestation policy, which does include an important facet around a larger inclusion of smallholders. So to answer your question, I mean, I said we have a ways to go, but I'm confident we'll reach our goals by 2020.
And it's not going to be a situation where the classic, pilots never scales. You are conscious of that and the fact that you really want to scale this out and roll it across everything.
Oh, absolutely. So for example, in order to scale, I mean, we have to be conscious of the fact that you're right. Some of those pilot projects, for those who cannot scale or cannot scale quickly enough, we have to still find other models which are robust enough and that still meet those same principles, the ones I named earlier. So this is part of the challenge, but you know, we've made a lot of headway already. Of our 1,500 renewable raw materials which we use to date, 50% of them are already sustainably sourced. So we've already made a lot of progress, but we can't let up. We still have a ways to go.
This is a fascinating supply chain. I mean, you're sourcing lots and lots, thousands of products, but lots of them at a very small scale.
Yeah.
So it makes it quite different to many other of the companies that we're talking to today, the kind of vast supply chains producing huge amounts of perhaps a very small number of commodities.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So it does change things. You know, it does affect how we build these projects, and that we have to really rely on a very collaborative approach, a very multi-stakeholder approach, because at the end of the day, you're absolutely right. You know, when you look at our total purchases or volumes for some of these raw materials, they're relatively small compared to other industries, other sectors, other companies. So we have to be able to persuade them otherwise. They have to, and we find ways. You know, there are other incentives. We have local suppliers where we have done technological transfers or transferred expertise. In some cases, we've said that we will commit to certain quantities, train farmers, or even ensure that we'll pay a premium if it meets certain requirements and goes to the farmers. So we find, I think, ultimately the reason we've made it work in a number of cases, because even if we may not ultimately be the largest purchaser, we can provide expertise or can provide other useful, another value proposition, if you will, to some of these raw material suppliers.
Jonathan Maher from L'Oréal USA, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks so much.